I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a new White House proposal would send nurses to visit low-income first-time mothers to help them through the first few months after birth. Our moms weigh in on that idea in just a few minutes. But first, the president is mad, really mad. American International Group, the insurance giant that was on the verge of collapse last year, has received billions in taxpayer-backed bailout funds and is now 80% owned by the government. And now comes word that the company has paid out $165 million in compensation or bonuses, which is why the president said this.
This is a corporation that finds itself in financial distress due to recklessness and greed. Under these circumstances, it's hard to understand how derivative traders at AIG warranted any bonuses, much less $165 million in extra pay. I mean, how do they justify this outrage to the taxpayers who are keeping the company afloat?
And you can hear the president banging the podium there, which is kind of an unusual gesture for him. And he's asked Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner to pursue every single legal avenue, quote, to block these bonuses. We wanted to know more about all this, so we've called upon Alvin Hall, our regular contributor on matters of the economy and personal finance. Also with us is Alan Hughes. He's the editorial director for news and business at Black Enterprise Magazine. And gentlemen, both of you have worked on Wall Street, right?
Yes.
I have that right. Okay, so the first thing is I want to understand the terms here. The chairman of AIG called this $165 million payout retention payments. The president's calling them bonuses. Other people are calling them deferred compensation. So, Alvin, is that all the same thing? Are these just semantic differences? This is essentially a PR thing. Or is there, in fact, a difference in the kind of money that was paid out?
Well, it depends upon the type of agreement that the individuals had with the company. More than likely, they were retention bonuses. These are traders who've been there for a while. They were probably worried about leaving or thought about leaving their jobs. And therefore, in order to keep them in these jobs, which the company deems as important, they agreed to pay them a fixed bonus at the end of a period of time. They negotiated this money at that time, and there is little discretion that the company has in paying that bonus, whether the person is good in their job or bad in their job.
But it's the company's discretion. There's no law or overarching contract that says that, right?
Is
that
right? There is often a contract, quite honestly.
There is or is not?
Yeah, there is. There's often a written agreement saying your salary is X, and at the end of the year, you get Y. And that's part of the offer letter. And the thing to keep in mind, not to defend AIG, because they've done more than enough to merit Obama's sort of, you know, opinion and the words he said about them. But the thing is that it predates current management. A lot of these, whether you want to call them retention, bonuses, what have you, they predate the current management and the financial crisis. And in many cases, they are actually binding legal agreements, which is why Geithner will have some challenges if he's trying to, you know, nullify them.
Well, here's the question that a lot of people have, Alvin, and Alan, mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from you, too. First of all, given the fact that two of the five leading Wall Street firms are now no longer exist, I think some people wonder where exactly would these people be going, number one. And number two, Wall Street and political leaders had no problem encouraging and indeed pressuring the auto workers to renegotiate their labor contracts in order to get federal assistance. So some people wonder, what's the difference?
Well, I think when the government steps in to break contracts sort of willy-nilly this way, it sets a precedent that you will see other corporations begin to use in their negotiation with individuals. All of a sudden, contracts can be simply thrown out of the window. I think that's what people really are concerned about.
But nobody raised that concern when people were pressing the auto workers to renegotiate their contracts with the automakers in exchange for federal help. And again, I have to ask the question, what's the difference?
The difference is that you have collective bargaining there and you have individual bargaining here. There, the auto workers negotiate for everybody, every worker there, and here the company really negotiates the contract with each individual along the way. So if you come in and you know something I don't know, or you have a better skill than I have, you'll be able to get a better deal than I could, Michelle.
Alan, what about the argument that where are these people really going?
That is the question, but at this point it's not so much we really want to keep these people because they're doing so wonderfully and our company is doing so wonderfully. It really is a matter of this was an agreement, you know, that was agreed upon by two persons. Now, and as Alvin pointed out, it leads into unprecedented, uncharted territory. If a company falls into hard times, can they then turn to the government and say, we don't want to honor these agreements. We can't honor these agreements anymore. Get us out of them. I mean, that's certainly some dangerous road to tread on.
Michelle, I think there's another issue here, though. I think that Hank Paulson must have known that these types of agreement existed when the initial bailout money was given to AIG.
That's the former Treasury Secretary
who served under President George W. Bush.
Before he went, he was
at Goldman Sachs. Exactly. So he had to know that these types of contracts existed. The fact that he did not deal with this as an issue when he gave them the money shows that he, I think, turned his face and looked the other way.
Alan, presumably somebody connected with these firms has expertise in marketing and public relations. Do you think that they did not anticipate the public response? They did not anticipate the public scrutiny? Surely at the time they accepted public funds, they had to know that there public scrutiny would attach to that. Do you think that they just didn't get it, or you think they just don't care that there's this kind of response?
You know, that's a great question, quite honestly. I mean, they were under fire for the, I believe it was $440,000 party for a handful of employees to get spa treatments and what have you, and then you follow it up with this. I don't know whether it's sort of old-school Wall Street hubris or whether it's just a total disconnect for what's going on in the real world. That really is a $64,000 question.
And finally, I hate to put each of you in the position of speculating, but each of you has raised questions about the precedent it might set to overturn these contracts, however angry the president and the public are about them. Alan, do you think that they will be? I know you're not a lawyer, but what's your guess about how this is going to come out?
You know, because there's such a public outcry, and quite honestly, when was the last time you've heard the president speak out so fervently against a publicly traded company? Well, a company that the government owns 80% of, but I think the outcry combined with D.C. politics may lead to a restructuring of some of these agreements. Maybe they'll be deferred. I don't know. I don't think they're just going to go away, but I think there'll be some change in some way, shape, or form.
Alan, we're going to say goodbye to you. Alan Hughes is the editorial director for News and Business at Black Enterprise Magazine. He was kind enough to join us from his home in New Jersey. Alan, thank you.
Thank you.